This morning, as we continue to talk about Jesus calling the disciples, and we're going to be in John 1:43-51 this morning. And I want us just to stop and think about, as we've been talking about each one of the disciples each Sunday now for a little while, I want you to stop and just think about how we all are called, folks. He called these disciples, but he called them just as he calls you. You say, well, Mike, I've got a job, I've got this and I got that, I got 15 grandkids and I'm trying to work every day and I've done all this stuff and there's no way that I can really do any more for the Lord. Really? I mean, I say that you can, you know. I think that we all have time to be able to do for the Lord. Now, each one of these disciples has a different story, every one of them. And we notice that as they're being called, that we see Andrew and Peter, and we have talked about Philip and how Philip has gone to find Nathanael. And Nathanael's also called Bartholomew. And so we see that each one of them has been called in a different way. Either someone has went and got him, or Jesus has brought them to him in a very special way. And so, folks, I think this morning, if you look at yourself, if you look at the one sitting beside you, you've been called in a different way. Either Jesus has called you personally to come, or your neighbor told you about Jesus and you responded by coming to church, hearing the word. You responded by coming and seeing what it's all about. And in doing so, you've accepted Christ. You're desiring to be a disciple of Christ. But how much are we really interested in giving up or giving in to being that disciple that Christ calls us to be? So we look at verse 43-51, and let's just see what we hear this morning. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and he said to him, "Come follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Now, this is all pretty interesting, folks, as to where this is everybody's from. Because Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We have found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." "Nazareth," exclaimed Nathanael. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" "Come and see for yourself," Philip replied. And as they approached Jesus, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel." Now they're walking up to Jesus, and Jesus is talking about Nathanael. And he says, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." "How do you know about me?" Nathanael asked. And Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Then Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." Jesus asked him, "Do you believe this because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than this." Then he said, "I tell you the truth. You will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, as we see the reading of the word this morning, we take a look at Philip going to find Nathanael. Philip is, and Nathanael, if you stop and think about this, they are students of the word. They have been reading, they've been hearing about the Messiah, they've been hearing that he's coming, and all at once Philip has found him. And he can't wait to go tell Nathaniel. Folks, it's coming fall, and we can't wait to tell everybody about the football team that we love. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it continuously. And that's just who we are. We'll talk about everything that we enjoy this fall. It will be a subject, and everybody will listen, because we enjoyed listening to all of the things that's going on. Enjoy watching football. We enjoyed all of it. So Philip is like, hey, I want to talk to you about this quarterback that I know. And, you know, he's going to go find Nathaniel and tell him all about him. Well, as he goes to find Nathaniel, you know, Philip is a whole lot like a lot of preachers. He's not 100% on what he's telling Nathaniel. But we ain't got time to argue about that right now. You need to look at that for yourself. He says, look here in the scripture what he is saying. He says, let me find it. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. But where was Jesus born? He's born in Bethlehem, wasn't he? So Nathanael already has kind of a dislike for these people in Nazareth. And so as we see the prejudice that shines through, we're beginning to see that Philip is saying Nathanael is saying to Philip, I'm not sure about this. I don't like them people over there. I'm not interested in talking to this man really and truly. But folks, he had a love for Scripture. He had this love for Scripture because he was laying under the fig tree. He wasn't lazy, but under the fig tree is where they took time to study Scripture, where they took time to meditate, where they took time to be with the Lord. And so he was under the fig tree. He was looking at Scripture. What Scripture was he looking at? The Old Testament. It's all he had. He didn't have the New Testament. But he knew that Moses and the prophets had talked about the Messiah that would come. And Philip said, Nathanael, this is him. This is who we've been reading about. This is who we've been studying about. And I need you to come and to see him. And Nathanael is saying, if he's from Nazareth, I'm not really interested. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. Well, Philip could have said, well, I think he was born in Bethlehem. You know, that's not a lot of difference, but it is a little bit of difference. But he didn't. And he told Nathanael to come and to see this man. We know that it was in Nathanael's heart because he firmly believed in the Messiah. He firmly believed that there would be a Messiah that would come one day. He had this faith in him, folks, that this Messiah would come and he would do everything that the Old Testament had said. Now, how many of us have that much faith that we know God is going to do everything he tells us? Do you ever find a time when you're saying to yourself, well, I mean, I've asked God, and he hasn't done it. He hasn't answered my prayer. I had an older gentleman one day asked me, he said, Mike, he said, and he was older. He said, Mike, I've prayed and prayed for a couple of different things to happen in my life, and he said, neither one of them has happened. He said, what do you think about that? Well, folks, first of all, it tells us that we need to pray for God's will to be done. It's not our will. It's not what we want. It's what God wants in our life. It's not how things we wish could be. It's how we wish God's will could be. And if it's His will that things are the way that they are and we've asked Him, then it must be His will that we continue to live in the situation that He's in, that we're in. And I'm sure this older gentleman passed on without seeing either one of his requests answered. He never told me what his request was, but he said, I really would have wanted God to answer my prayer. He probably did. He probably did. It just wasn't in the way that he wanted it to be answered. But you see, when we look at Nathaniel, he had a heart for the Lord. He had a heart for Scripture. He had a heart for the Word of God. And when he had that heart for of the Lord and that sincere, he was sincere in it. And as he approached Jesus, Jesus said, "Now here is a genuine son of Israel, a man of complete integrity." You see, as much of a skeptic as Nathanael was, he was doubting very seriously that Philip had found the Messiah, I'm sure at the very beginning. He said, "Philip, I probably," and talking in today's language, he'd say, You know, Brian, I'm sure you think you've probably found him, and I'm willing to go look, but I really doubt this deal." You know, he was a skeptic. I would be a skeptic, you know, if Brian come and told me. I would want to go see, and that's what he done. And so we see that as he went to see, and Jesus told him, he said, "This is a man of complete integrity." Being a doubter, being a skeptic, doesn't make you not have integrity. He knew Nathaniel's heart. Folks, he knows every one of y'all's hearts this morning. He knows inside your heart what you're really thinking, what you really think about it, and what you say you think about it. He knows, and you can't fool him. You can say you can do this or you can do that, but you can't fool him. And so we see that he confessed with his mouth. He says, "How do you know about me?" And Nathanael asked. And Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." And Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel." He confessed with his mouth who Jesus was. How many of us have confessed with our mouth who Jesus is? How many times do you confess with your mouth to other people who Jesus Christ is? That he is the Son of God. That he is the one that came. And he is the one that died upon a cross that we can have eternal life. How many of us really confess that with our mouth? How many of us have an eager faith to go out and tell others about Jesus? You see, we don't. We don't. And Jesus wanted to know. He wanted to know if he's going to lie to him or not, because Jesus already knew. And he says, "Do you believe this just because I told you I had seen you under the fig tree?" And then he told him, he said, "You will see greater things than this." So, do you remember Jacob's dream in Genesis 28, I believe it is, where Jacob saw the ladder ascending from earth into heaven? And do you remember he was seeing the angels go up and down the ladder? You remember all of this. And you remember that God is telling Nathanael, he said, "You're going to see greater things than this." He said, "I tell you the truth, you will all see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down and on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth." Folks, today we don't have a stairway. We don't have a ladder going to heaven per se that you can walk up and get on and walk up to heaven. But we have that stairway. We have Jesus Christ. He is our stairway to heaven. And only way you're going to get there is through Jesus Christ. There's not another way. He says, I am the way, you know, the truth and the life. There's not another way. If I thought there was another way, I'd tell you. You could do it this way, and you'll get there just as good as going through him. You won't, because he is the one that came, lived, and died for your sin and for mine. He is the one that has this stairway that he opens up to heaven. You know, I've I think a lot of stuff all the time. My mind runs wide open and constantly, and it always has. It didn't just start. Since I was a little boy, I'd be sitting in school looking out the window thinking all kind of stuff, you know. I mean, I did, and they'd say, hey, right back here, we're doing math or we're doing science or something. I didn't care. I had my mind on a million different things. But here lately, you know, they've got these pictures of this stuff that's going, they'll be on an airplane and there'll be something that's going like this. And one day I sat in there watching that and I saw it. I mean, they got pictures of it, you know. And I saw this thing, it was moving past this airplane faster than the airplane. And they can't figure out what it is, you know, some kind of UFO or something. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, wouldn't that be cool if that was God's angels or that was the people that are dying and they're ascending into heaven? And they're not ever going to figure that out. They could look at that from now on and they would never figure it out, you know. But wouldn't that be cool when you get to heaven and you say, look, I knew that was something to do with you, Lord. I just didn't know what it was, you know. And we can see what is really happening. The stairway to heaven, folks, that stairway is real. And Jesus is for real. It's for real that he desired to come and to live and to teach you and to teach me. He desired to leave us with his word. He desired that Nathanael would be one of his disciples, one that would go and to talk and to tell others about him. You ever stop and think about, well, why did Jesus choose the 12 that he did? They were all just common, ordinary men. That book that Brian gave me, R.C. Sproul wrote, 12 Ordinary Men, I think is the name of, huh?
John MacArthur.
But he said, you know, these guys were uneducated. He said, they're just normal, everyday people. And so many of them come out of Andrew and Philip's town. They were fishermen. Folks, this place was not known for its churches and Bible study. It was a pretty rough place. And, I mean, he went down here and called these guys out of there. Yet, as rough as it was a fishing town, as rough as it was, there were still men in this town that had a heart for God. And there's men today that have a heart for God. I see them everywhere. And I praise God when I find these young men and older men, too, that have a heart for God. But it's as real today as it was then, folks. You're in a world that is not a pretty place. This world is ugly. Now, you can find good people everywhere you go. But when you really look around, it's an ugly, ugly place. It's a sad place. I had to go for my checkup the other day to Nashville. And when I was up there, me and Tammy was looking. And there's these people on the streets, folks. They're so strung out, they can't stand up. I mean, they're over like this, and they're just, I mean, it's pitiful. It's so sad that people waste their life on that type of drugs or whatever it is they're on. And yet, they're dangerous as well because they need more money. They need more something to get what it is that they're looking for. When, folks, Jesus Christ is the answer to all of it. They can stay high all their life. They can stay where they don't know you, know where they're at or know you or anything else. And it's not going to mount to a hill of beans when it's all said and done. But if we know Jesus Christ, and if we have a heart like Nathanael had, if we have this heart that will confess with his mouth that he and tell others that he is the King of Israel, it's a sincere heart. And folks, I just ask you this morning, is your heart sincere? Or are you just thinking that, well, I'll be okay, I'm gonna hang out and I'm gonna go to church a little bit when I ain't got nothing else to do. And I'm not going to make it a priority, but I will go. And it's not that you got to be at church every Sunday, you know. It's not. That's not what it is. But it's when you are in the presence of God's family that you feel stronger the next week. It's when you come and you hear God's word that you feel stronger next week. I know if you got a battery and it's not hooked to an alternator, you better be charging it up if you go use it, because it's not going. You're not going to get much out of it in a day or so. It's going to be real, real weak. And so that's the way our souls are, folks. That's the way we're made. We have to stay in the Word of God. Nathaniel was in the Word. Nathaniel was under the fig tree. He was studying God's Word. He was in meditation with God. He was listening to what God was telling him. And in doing so, Philip shows up to tell him about the Messiah that he has found. He has come, Nathaniel. Come and see. The prejudice that he had, yes, it was for real. He didn't like them people at Nazareth. And he didn't really want to go back that direction to hear and see about Jesus. But he did. And in doing so, his prejudice went away, because the love of Christ showed him that if you love me, you'll love these other people just as well. You'll love everybody. And folks, that's just like when I said that you're in Nashville or you're in Memphis or anywhere, and you see these people that are messed up. You know, they're messed up. I mean, really bad. But don't your heart just break for them? I mean, don't it just pray? You don't even have to go to Nashville, Memphis. You go right up here and stand on the street corner by Pockets. You see the same thing. You don't have to go anywhere. It's the very same thing, folks. But doesn't your heart just break for them? It does. To me, it does. And it, you know, it's something that I would give anything if I could correct, but I can't. I can't do it all. But you know what? I might make a difference in somebody's life. And if I only make a difference in one, that is a big deal to me and to whoever life it is that I touch. That's a big deal. But folks, we have to stop as we come to the table this morning. We have to stop and we have to think about Jesus. You know, can you imagine being in heaven with the Father? And he says, I'm going to send you down to earth. And he knew, Jesus knew exactly what his mission here was. It wasn't that he sent him down here as a secret. He knew exactly what he came for. And can you imagine giving up your place in heaven with the Father to come down here to die on a cross for us? I mean, I can't really imagine that, because it would be like, you know, I'd say, what good's it going to do, Father? What good's it going to do? There's these people down there, they worship in the world. They're worshiping everything that you're not. And they're not going to change. But Jesus said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to live with them, and I'm going to die for them. And I know that you will raise me on the third day, because he told everyone that on the third day he would be raised from the dead. And I know there's going to be suffering involved. And I might not make a difference in the whole free world, but I will make a difference in a few people. So I'm going, Father. And I'm going to make that difference for the ones that love me and for the ones that will die, that will live for me. And I will die for them. And then we will have a kingdom together. We'll have life everlasting together. Can you imagine that conversation that probably went on? Except had it been me, I'd have probably still been arguing that I don't think we need to do this. I mean, I don't see the point in it. But he was listening to the Father. And folks, today Nathaniel was listening to the Father. He was listening to Jesus. And I want you to listen to Jesus. And as we come to the table this morning, I hope that you open your hearts. Open your hearts that you can hear what Jesus is telling you this morning. I know that as we come to the table, a lot of times we come and we don't really know if we should take the elements or whether we shouldn't. If you're not willing to have a sincere heart, If you're not willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're not willing to confess that He is King, He is the King, then maybe, just maybe, you don't need to take the elements. I don't know your heart. You know your heart, not me. And so as we come to the table today, folks, this is not Grace Life's table. This is the Lord's table. Everybody comes welcome. Everybody. But we come with a self-examination of ourselves. And it requires us to stop and to look and to think about our own self as we take the elements. And I hope that you know that as we take them, that we can confess our sins, that these elements, as we confess our sins, these elements become the body and the blood of Christ. I hope you know and you realize that He just asked us to confess up to what we do. And then we can come and have assurance of eternal life. So this morning, as we come, let us take just a moment to make our personal confession, and then we will have prayer, and then we will close with the Lord's Prayer. Father, as we come this morning, we come giving You so much thanks for Your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we come confessing our sins, for we know that we are all sinners. We know we're forgiven. We know that You came and You died upon that cross that we could have eternal life. And we thank You and praise You so much. We ask, Father, that You forgive each one of us. And Father, for those that do not know You, for the world is full, we pray, Father, that we can tell them, confess with our mouth that You are the King, and that, Father, that Jesus was Your Son, and that He came and died that we can have eternal life through this confession of our sins. Father, we thank You, we praise You, and You taught us as You taught us in Your prayer that it's not about our will, but it's about Your will, Lord. So, Father, as we pray the prayer that You taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. The kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.